Rabbi Sai, today is Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. Rabbi Sai, please. Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. Today is a Yom Tzoyim. The Magen Avraham says that today we should be fasting. Okay, Rabbi Sai. Today is a Yom Tzoyim. Today we should all be fasting. Because 777 years ago, today, on Erev Shabbos, not the calendar day, but on Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, there was a horrific event in France, in Paris, in front of the Notre Dame Cathedral, where, after a very unpleasant disputation between the king with the participation, really was the queen. The king didn't show up to the disputation, but the queen, the whole church, the whole hierarchy of the church, and the pope was involved. And the Jews, of course, won the debate. And the Torah Shebal Peh was a trial where the Torah Shebal Peh was put on trial. We discussed this week. There was an order given that all of the Sifrei Torah Shebal Peh be collected, be seized. And that included the Talmud Bavli. This was before the printing press, the invention of the printing press. Each volume, each manuscript was priceless. Hours and hours, a year. How long did it take to write a Masechta? Can't even begin to imagine. And there were 24 cartloads. The first, all of the Sefarim were seized. They were stored in the basement of this cathedral of Notre Dame, the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. And it was there for a period of time until finally the order was given down. It took a lot of work in order for them to get permission to do this from the king and the pope. And the order was given that it should be burnt. And it was a horrible event where they took out from the basement of the cathedral the 24 cartloads of manuscripts of the Talmud Bavli and the Mefarshim on the Talmud Bavli, whatever was available then, whatever they were able to seize, which equaled approximately 1,200 volumes, and it was burnt in a massive bonfire in front of the church. And this was a devastating blow to the Jews of France. It led to, ultimately, pogroms and the expulsion of Jews from France not that much long after. And it was obviously a horrible, horrible event, a horrible Chil Hashem. And the Gedolei Yisrael of that time, they issued a Yom Tzoyim, a fast day. That from then on forward, every year, on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, to remember what's called the Sreifas HaTalmud, every Jew should fast on this day. Erev Shabbos Parshas. Why today do we not fast? It's a good question.
And why is it the Erev Shabbos? Why is it the
excellent question. So you're asking an excellent question. Why Erev Shabbos? That's what we're addressed right now. Why? We actually spoke about this once before, but I wanted to give you some new information. Why Dafka? Why Erev Shabbos and not the calendar day? Now, what was the calendar day? I'm not even sure. I think it was Vav. There are different Girsois. I think we just look it up. The problem is, it's not even so clear when it happened. Did it happen in the year 1242? Did it happen in the year 1244? Everyone likes to say it happened 777 years ago. So it's not, what? No, so it's really 775 years ago. Whatever it is, okay, it's not, did it happen on Vav? Did it happen on Tes? Okay, good question. You're right, it's not, normally we commemorate things on the actual date. We don't commemorate things on the day of the week. This was different. Why is it different? It's not so, I'm going to try to explain to you a drush of why it's different. I don't have a clear reason. I never really got clarity. But the people of the Chachamim living in that time, they went and they did what's called the She'elas Chaloyim. Okay, they were very holy people. And they were very holy people. And they went. Okay, and they... Okay, so if you have to eat, try to keep the noise to a minimum. Okay? Try to keep the munching to a minimum. Especially on the fast day. Okay. So, On this day, they went in those days. They were very holy people, and I don't know how this works. They asked heaven for a remez. Why this happened? What is going on here? I'm just saying words. I don't know what this means. The Gedolei Yisrael, they demanded that Shamayim in heaven, they send down a message to explain to the people on this world, to us, what is going on. We don't have Nevi'im today. We don't have Chachamim. Chacham Adif Minavi. We don't know. That's the biggest Churban of Golus. We don't have answers. We have questions and we don't have answers. Why? Why is this happening? What are we supposed to do? How do we correct ourselves? That's the problem with Golus. When we have a Navi tells us what Hashem is a communication. If they're Chachamim, Chacham Adif Minavi. They can also tell us the reasons why things are happening and what we should do. We don't have Chachamim, we don't have Nevi'im, so we don't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. They don't know what's going on. They asked a question, whatever this means, and they sent down in a dream. The dream was, the words came out in the dream, Do Gezeiras Oiraisa. Okay, it's the Targum of the second pasuk of this week's parasha. Zois Chukas Hatara. This is the law. The word chukas literally means the law of the Torah, and the Targum translates the word law as gezeras, but the word gezeras also has a connotation of a harsh decree as a punishment for doing averos. So basically what they understood, oiraisa is the Torah. So what they basically understood this to mean, I'm not sure I'm saying it correctly, is that this was not a coincidence. This event was decided in Shamayim that Jews should be punished. It was a punishment. There are things that happen in this world which are not punishments. There are very unpleasant things that happen in this world. You can have no right to say, oh, this person is being punished. It's not a punishment. Part of being in this world, there are things that happen. There are natural sequence of events. It's not everything is a punishment. Person after 120 years, he leaves this world. It's not a punishment. You come to this world, you don't have an expectation to live more than 120 years, or whatever you're supposed to, your allocated time.
Didn't we have a different impression from Sefer Hasidim yesterday?
One thing at a time. Let's play. Not everything in this world is a punishment. There are terrible things that happen. Should we get worked up? They burned the Talmud. What else is new? The Goyim don't like us. We know that. The Goyim cause a lot of harm. We're in Golus. So, no, we're in Golus. It's just another unpleasant event that happened in Golus. No. In Shemayim, they said, this was not meant to be. This was not supposed to happen. You're in Golus. No, so you're in Golus. We'll deal with that. But that they should take the Talmud in such an oifan, in such a way, and collect the manuscripts, and store it in the church, and burn and destroy it? Do gezeras oiraisa. So Chazal got very scared, and they were goyzer a tainis on the day of the week when it happened, which was Friday. So Mr. Marillis asked a very, very tough question: why Friday? Why not the actual calendar date? So I think there is a very simple answer. Before I give an answer, I just want to give you a little more background, because in the answer I want to try to bring out a remez, a hint, to enhance why it's on Friday. This event took place in the aftermath. Now, there are a lot of sketchy details, and as I discussed this week, there's a fascinating article in this new publication called Kankan. It is published by a Baba Chassid in London. Okay, it's a masterpiece. This new publication, Kankan. And they put already five volumes, and it's in three languages: Hebrew, Yiddish, and English. And it's not a computer translation. Whoever went and translated it from, I think it's in three languages, if I'm not mistaken. It's for sure in Yiddish, for sure. And it's for sure in English. I have the English. And it's not just a computer translation. Whoever translated into English worked very, very hard, you can see, to put it together in a very, 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 very refined, professional presentation. And there they open up this sugya wide open like I've never seen before. I've never seen such, the research is just awesome. And they ask a lot of tough questions and they reveal a lot of things that you've never heard before about this whole thing. And then after all the questions, they write, to be continued. They know how to make money. They know how to get you hooked. You want to know the answers to all these questions, stay tuned. Until July 22nd, when the next volume will come out, and you'll get the answers. So when we come to July 22nd, next week, we'll get the answers to all of the questions. But basically, this is all part of this. Something is very simple. It's only on the Arshul Kinnis, what I'm about to tell you, is that this took place in the aftermath of a very ugly period where there were book burnings by Jews. Jews engaged in book burnings. Namely, the Rambam. The Rambam, who lived in Spain, was under attack by the Jews who lived in Ashkenaz, Germany, including France. And the Jews in Germany and France had a very different approach to Yadus. They were very insular. They distanced themselves completely from the Goyim. That was their approach to life. The Jews in Spain were more integrated with society. Don't use labels, okay? It's not nice to say modern Orthodox, this is total nonsense, because we have it's a whole different world. It's a whole different approach. It's a much more sophisticated approach to life. Two very different approaches to life, which are beyond our understanding. The Jews of Ashkenaz, which include France and Germany, had one approach, and the Jews of Spain, which had a very different approach. The Rambam lived in Spain. The Rambam wrote a sefer called Devarim Nevuchim. And Devarim Nevuchim is a work on philosophy. And according to what they write, is that the Rambam wrote this book not even for religious Jews. That's what I read. I don't know if this is true or not. It was written for people who, unfortunately, were leaving Yadus. And in order to bring them back, he wrote a book for a very specific purpose, to bring these people who were leaving, pull them back in, and show them, even according to on their level, on their approach, bring them back into philosophy. You have to appreciate the times. It's not even possible for us to really fully grasp what was going on and what this publication, what its intent was. And Kedarkoi B'Kodesh, we all know, not everyone in France was enamored by the works of the Rambam, the Devarim Nevuchim, and also part of Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah, the first Sefer Hamadah, and it said things that they felt were a bit controversial. And the Rambam was banned. He was censored. Not only was he censored, they were violent. Okay, religious Jews, Haredi Jews, decided that we have to make a public statement that the Rambam is not Pikoris. The Halakha Rambam is not Pikoris. And the Jews on their own, they collected his Devarim Nevuchim. They got hold of every single copy they can get a hold of, the Devarim Nevuchim and other Svarim. And in front, now it's not really clear, this is part of the article, they burnt the Rambam's works of Devarim Nevuchim in front of the same church, Notre Dame, in front of the cathedral, 777 years ago. Now get a load of this. It says this in one of the, I didn't see this in the journal, I saw this somewhere else. I saw this online. I don't know if it's true, but we have to research this. When they wanted to ignite the bonfire, to destroy, to defile the Rambam, to make a statement that the Rambam is not good enough for us, they need a match. So I'm sure there were a lot of volunteers, a lot of people smoked those days, who were able to produce a fire. No, 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 we don't want your fire. We want to show the world that the Rambam is treif. The Rambam is not pikoris. So the way we're going to do is we're going to torch his works by going into the cathedral and taking a nair from the church and using a fire from the church to torch the words of the Rambam. Could you imagine such a thing? It's not bad enough what they did. These are the religious Jews. Not they took fire from the cathedral of Notre Dame to torch the Rambam's holy works. This is what they did. According to what it says in the Sfarim, I have to verify the facts, as even the art scroll books, is less than 40 days later was Erev Shabbos. All of this was happening while the Talmud's works, the Talmud was sitting in the basement, and it was under discussion by the church if they're going to burn it. Less than 40 days later, the decision was made, yeah, let's burn it. And they took out, on Erev Shabbos, Parashas Chukas, the 24 wagon loads of manuscripts, and they torched it, and the ashes of the 24 wagon loads mingled with the ashes of the Moira Nevuchim and the Rambam Sefer HaMadr. It was interpreted by the Gedolei Yisrael as retribution for being mevazer the Rambam. How dare you be mevazer Kodosh V'tar, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon, Mi Moshe V'yad Moshe Loikom Ki Moshe. How dare you? And as divine retribution, the 24 wagon loads that were sitting for 2 years already, it couldn't have been that they would have been given back. It was still debating what to do. It was decided in Shemayim, Do Gezeira Oiraisa, to punish the Jews for this disgusting, despicable act of being mevazeh the Rambam, that the church should decide suddenly, without any warning, to burn the manuscripts, and the manuscripts were burnt in front of the Church of Notre Dame, Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas, and in the same location, and the ashes mingled with one another, Do Gezeira D'Oraisa. So when we fast today, or reflect today on this horrible event, it's not just, oh, with tzaddikim, and therefore, you know, tzaddik virala. You can't say that over here. Here, the fact that they were shoyla she'elas chaloim, and it was 40 days after the Rambam's works were burned and the ashes mingled, and it was accepted that it was such a disgrace to the Rambam. It's not just one of those things where we don't know why it happened. The tainus today is not a tainus stam that a terrible thing happened. A lot of terrible things, Rachmanu Litzlan, happened. We don't find that Klal Yisrael has to fast for these events, L'chol Adoyres. A lot of things in Golis. There were a lot of book burnings. Dime a dozen book burnings. One of the biggest book burnings happened was Meir Shapiro's library. Not so long ago, Rav Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf Yomi, the Chachmei Lublin, the Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, the Nazis had a massive, massive burning. He had a massive library. Kristallnacht, but that wasn't a book burning. That was just Stam. That was Kristallnacht. But a book burning of Torah Shebal Peh. The dime a dozen throughout history. This, we don't find that with Geizer, a tightness to remember. No one even knows when the Nazis torched the library in a ceremony for Meir Shapiro. But this is different. You know why this is different? Because this we know the reason. This we know. Do Gezeira Oraisa. What's the Gezeira Oraisa? You are Mevaze the Rambam. Just because you don't agree with another Jew's hashkafa, way of life, it does not give you the right to go and become violent and extremist and to do horrible, horrible, despicable acts like this. It's a different type of tainus. The tainus is, we know why it happened. Because we were mevazeh the gedolei Yisrael, the gadol shebe Yisrael, mi Moshe v'yad Moshe leikom ki Moshe, the Rambam. We don't understand the Rambam's depth of knowledge, understand why he wrote Sefer HaMa, why he wrote Morin Levuchim. That's your problem. The Rambam is the Rambam. And let me just bring out the point of how great the Rambam is regarding Morin Levuchim. How do we begin Shulchan Aruch? What is the very first halach in Shulchan Aruch? This is not mine. I saw this online, this piece of mission. We start off, we have the Mechaber, says, Yiskaber Kohari Elamoy Baboike Elavodis Boiroi. Sheyehe Hu Me'or HaShachar. The Mechaber, Rav Yosef Kairoi, starts off with a beautiful line, you shall wake up like an Ari. And then the Ramah, Rav Moshe Isserles, Rav Ramah Hagah, let me give you a little introduction to what this world is all about. Who doesn't know this? Hagav Yalkol Parim Lo Ya'achas Man HaTfilo Shatzim Mispalim Hagav Shivisi, beginning of Shulchan Aruch, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. Okay, they have it on the Amud. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. Hu Klal Godal Batoiro Uvimalis Hatzadikim Ashaholchim Lufnei Elokim. Ki ein yeshivas ha'adam utnu oisa v'asakav v'hu levadoi b'veso ki yeshivasa utnu oisa v'asakav v'hu lefnei melech gadol. It's not the same when you're all alone in your house compared to when you go in front of a melech, malach, when you go in front of a king, and the king of a boss of a dam. When you go in front of the president of the United States, you put on your best clothing. You present yourself in a dignified way. When you're at home, you can wear your pajamas. V'lo dibur, the way you speak, every word is measured. V'arachovas piv kiritzoyne v'hu iman shei beiso yikorev kidibur yibroish av melech. The way you speak in front of your members of your family is not the way you speak in front of a melech. Kol shekein, kishe yosimu adnam es libo yisha melech agadol HaKadosh Baruch Hu asher meloi chal eretz kivaydai oymeid Allah v'roi b'masav, certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much more so, v'chulu v'chulu, goes on. And then, it's not a Shar HaTzion, it's not an obscure source, in the Ramah is not embarrassed to say, I'm not saying this, do you know where I've taken this statement, which I've selected to be the lead off to Shulchan Aruch? Judaism? You know where I got this from? I took this right out of, word for word, in Moira Nevuchim, Chela Gimel, Perek Nun Beis. I took it right out of the Moira Nevuchim. This is what they burnt. This. They burnt the Rambam Sefer Moira Nevuchim. They burnt Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. In the name of religion. I'm more religious than you. I'm more religious. If you walk in the street and you talk and you integrate with Goyim and you have a worldly view of the world, so you're Shagits. You're Shagits. So Mimela, Shivisi, so therefore you have to burn your works. We have to say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you also have to go, Hashem. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid has to be burnt. Everything goes. It's all the same. Could you imagine such a thing? Could you imagine? That's why we fast today. It's where you look at someone else and you say, I'm better than you. It's my way or the highway. There's only one way to serve Hashem. And if you're not going to serve Hashem the way, we have to destroy everything there is about you. Including the Ribbono Shelam also, you also have to go. It's a sickness. This is why you fast today. You're not fasting today because they destroyed in a horrific way 24 wagon loads of rare manuscripts. Today there's a tiniest because we burnt Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. That's why we fast today. That's the real reason why we fast. That's the tragedy of Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. 777 years ago. Let me just finish the whole thing, then you'll talk, okay? Now, why Erev Shabbos? Well, it's very, now a lot of things come together. A lot of things are going to come together now. Why Dafka Erev Shabbos? And we have a rule, but this is a rule which we don't hear much about. Hafoich ba, hafoich ba, dekula ba. There's a principle that we live in a world and there are always things going on, whether it's local politics, global politics, personal matters, communal matters. There are always questions. There are always issues. We always have seikos. And we need guidance. Behashkocha pratis, Hashem worked it out that in the Parshas HaShavua, you'll find the answers to all of your questions. Fortunately, we're not so clever. A lot of Rabbanim, that used to be the role of a Rav. It used to be, back in the day, a Rav would give a sermon. A Rav would not give a Dvar Torah. Today, most Rabbanim, they give Divrei Torah. They say, beautiful, beautiful Divrei Torah, Pulpulim, Divrei Torah. But it used to be, the purpose of a Rav is to take out the newspaper on Shabbos. What is the issue in the news that dominated the media this week in the news? What is the issue? What is, now let's not joke around. Let's talk about serious matters that are dominating the world. Let's take a look at the parasha, and in the parasha, we will discover a Torah hashkafa to the matter that is at hand. Now, go even further. It's not just, look at the parashas hashavua. A person is very clever. If you want to know what's going on Sunday, look in the first aliyah. If you want to know what is the dominant issue of what took place in the media on Monday, you look in the second aliyah. Tuesday, the third aliyah. Wednesday, the fourth aliyah. Okay. Thursday, the fifth aliyah. And Friday, the sixth aliyah. When was the Torah, the Sreifas HaTalmud? When did it happen? It happened on Friday. Erev, Shabbos, Parshas, Chukas. Hafoichba, Hafoichba, Dekulaba. So, let's go to the sixth aliyah. And let's see what it says in the sixth aliyah to answer Mr. Merilis' question. Why this aliyah? So what does it say in the parasha? One moment, please. Let me turn to the page. Here we go. The sixth aliyah. Vayisu v'nei Yisrael v'yachanu b'oivais. They begin to travel. Let's go a little bit further. We talk about this incredible event, and there's a major miracle where the Jews were about to be killed. Our enemies were lined up in a very strategic position, and they were waiting for us to pass through a very narrow valley, and they were going to come out of their caves and destroy the entire Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was watching from above and performed an incredible miracle, and he caused their stronghold to crush. They were crushed between a miracle happened and they were crushed. Okay, look at the Rashi and all the very details. And then what happened was, we were oblivious. We had no idea. We had no idea that we were in danger of being wiped off the map in one moment. Hashem wanted us to know. Hanoisei matan, if you give someone a gift, there is an obligation to inform the person you've given him a gift. So Hashem sent the Be'er, the well, to flood in order to bring forth the blood and the limbs, the crushed limbs of our enemies, to have it flow in front of us for us to realize, do you know what just happened? We were walking through a valley and our enemies were standing in a position in between two mountains, and they were about to destroy us, and Hashem miraculously caused that these two mountains should crush one against the other, and in the process destroy our enemies, and they dropped to the ground, and we passed as if nothing happened. Hashem caused the Be'er, the well, to flood, to go in the vicinity of where the dead bodies were located, to bring up the blood and the limbs, and have it pass in front of us, so we should make an investigation and discover what just happened. And when we realized what just happened, we sang Shira. Oz Yashir Yisrael Es Hashira Hazois. They sang a song. Ali Ve'er Enula. Well, rise up. Enula, respond to her. And we begin to describe the Be'er and all the various references to this miracle which happened in the Shiras HaBe'er. That's the Pshutoi Shel Mikra. But there's a much deeper interpretation to this. And that is, this song that they sang regarding the Be'er is also a song over the beauty of Torah Shebal Peh. Everyone knows the Maimon Chazal, Hoy Kol Tzomei L'chu L'mayim. Anyone who is thirsty, go to the water. What is water? A mayim ella Torah. The be'er is the marshal of the Torah. But what kind of Torah? The be'er chafarua sarim, that has been dug by the princes. Karua, another expression of digging, hewn, nidivei ha'am, by the nobles of the people. Bimchoykeik, given to us by the lawgiver. The word bimchoykeik, according to Rashi, in the second interpretation, that it says that this refers to the Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the lawgiver, bimishan oisam, with his staff, holding his staff. And where was this given? This gift given to us? Umi Midbar. When we were in the desert, on Har Sinai, in the desert, Matana is where the gift of the Torah was given to us. This song that we sing tomorrow, which is counted as one of the most powerful shirois, Oz Yashir Yisrael, Es Hashira Hazais Ali Ve'er Enula, Be'er Chafaru Asarim, B'Karu Am Nidivei Ha'am, is a reference to the Torah Shebal Peh, the Talmud Bavli, that was developed over almost 1,000 years. Until the Talmud Bavli, 700-800 years, until the Talmud Bavli was 100% complete, from the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash until the Rabbanan Savaroi, in approximately the 8th century, 8th, 9th century, until it was complete, 100% complete, and then even going further, the Gaonim, which still continue to preserve the Mesorah of how to understand the Talmud Bavli, this, the Talmud Bavli, is the Be'er, it's the Mayim that was crafted by the most noble, the greatest people who ever lived in Klal Yisrael. The Sarim and the Nedivei Ha'am. All going back to Halacha L'Moshe Misinai B'mchoykeik, our leader Moshe Rabbeinu, who stood there with the Mate Elokim. And this was given to us in the Midbar. Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's Friday. This is today's Aliyah. From all of the days of the year, the entire year we go through Chamisha Chumshei Torah, our entire cycle, one year, and every single day of the year has its Aliyah. From all the days of the year, today is the day to sing the praises, the Shevach of the Talmud Bavli, of Torah Shebal Peh. There is no day in the entire year that's more choshuv to be makir, the beauty of the Torah Shebal Peh, than today, Hayoim. Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas, the Shira Oz Yashir Yisrael. And you know what happened on this day 777 years ago? The most horrific event happened. That instead of us singing Shira, Hashem was speaking to us. You should be singing Shira. But because you're not singing Shira, I'm going to take away your gift. The matana that was given to you in the Midbar, you don't deserve. I'm going to take it away. I'm going to take away your gift. You don't appreciate the gift, what I've given you. Why not? Well, what do we do wrong? What do we do wrong? What do we do wrong? There's a Rashi here. Rashi here says, ask a question. How could it be in such a beautiful, beautiful Shira, Moshe Rabbeinu was not mentioned? Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned in such a beautiful Shira. How could it be that the Ribbono Shel Olam is not mentioned in this Shira? How you talking? The Shira that describes the beauty of Torah Shebal Peh, we have to be mirames to Moshe Rabbeinu with the word bimchoykeik, the lawgiver. Moshe, where'd he go? Rashi, v'lama loy niskar Moshe. B'shirazoy, where did he go? So the answer is, l'fi sheloko al yidei ha-be'er. We're describing a be'er, And because of the Be'er, Moshe was smitten, Moshe was punished because of the Be'er. That's why Moshe cannot be mentioned. The Kevan, Sheloi Nizkar Shemoi Shel Moshe, once Moshe is not mentioned, Loi Nizkar Shemoi Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Moshe is not going to be mentioned, we're not going to mention the name of Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshel, Lemelech Shehayu Mizamnim Oisei L'Seuda, they invite a king to a feast. Omar, he says, is my friend coming? Im Oyhavi Sham, if my friend is coming, Ani Sham. V'im Lav, Eini Hoylech, and if not, I'm not going. So the king says, you invite me to this party? If my friend is not going, in protest, I'm not going. Moshe Rabbeinu over here is not mentioned. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu not mentioned? Because Moshe was loka, he was smitten al yidei haber. Now let's explain, why was Moshe smitten? Let's go back a few psukim to understand why Moshe was smitten. It's because the people ruined it for Moshe. The people, Klal Yisrael, did not appreciate Moshe. Let me explain to you what I mean. We go back a few psukim. The Klal Yisrael, they traveled. And there's no water. Vayishlach Moshe malachim el mikodesh el melech edom koyim ha'achinu Yisrael ato yedata eis kol atala'a. Let's go further. Where there was no water. Vayavok v'nei Yisrael kol o'eda mid-bar-tzin ma'chadish ha'vishu v'yishav ha'osham b'kodesh v'yosham b'shem b'kodesh v'lo ho'ya mayim lo'eda. There was no water. So what happened? Vayikoalu al Moshe v'yal Aaron. They gathered together. Vayorev ha'om im Moshe. Here are the key words. Vayorev ha'om im Moshe. They fought with Moshe. They had tainus on Moshe. Which Moshe? Moshe Rabbeinu? Or Moshe ben Maimon? Vayorev im Moshe. Vayomru leimor. Vilu govanu begva achenu lifnei Hashem. We should have died already. Vilo mehevah haveisem eskahal Hashem el amidbar hazel lo moshom anachnu vireinu. And Rashi over here says, on this pasuk, vayorev om Moshe, vayomru leimor. Let's go first, it's important. Rashi, vilo mehevah mitzrayim lohav yosanu, vayov Moshe v'yaron. And then Moshe Rabbeinu, in response, he hits the rock. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar kaches mahmate v'hakel es ha'amata v'yarnu achicha v'dibatim el ha'sela v'yikach Moshe samate v'yakhilu Moshe v'yaron es ha'kohol al p'nei ha'sola v'yomu lechem shimu no ha'moirim. Make no mistake about it. Moshe Rabbeinu was insulted. You're a bunch of rebels. Shimuno ha'moirim. Ha'menasela ha'zeh nasilachem moyim. And Moshe Rabbeinu goes on to give them water. Vayoymer Hashem, and Moshe, because Moshe was so worked up, Moshe makes the mistake and he hits the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And Memele Moshe Rabbeinu is punished. He does not enter into Eretz Yisrael and his name is not mentioned in the Shira. Friday, Erev, Shabbos, Parshas, Chukas. It's the day of the year, all the days of the year, hafoichba, the day to celebrate the beauty of Torah Shebaal Peh. And we do. We have this magnificent Shira. But on this day, 777 years ago, there was a kidrig against Klal Yisrael. Vayorev ha'om im Moshe. The people rebelled against the Godol Hador of Moshe ben Maimon. They had tainus. And because of that, they went to an extreme to take his Sifrei Kodesh and to burn it in front of a church. To burn the words, Shivisi Hashem Linegdi Samid, which begins the words of Shulchan Aruch. Not only to burn it, to go and take a candle from the cathedral to use as the fire to destroy the works of the Rambam, as if to say, that's right, let the church dominate over the Torah HaKadosha, the Holy Rambam. So when we sing the Shira, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not there. And if Moshe is not there, the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm at your defense. I'm not there either. You don't want Moshe to be? You know why Moshe is not in the Shira? Because Vayorev Ha'amim Moshe. Because the people didn't want Moshe. Moshe says, Shimon HaMayrim, you don't want me. You don't want me. So when you go sing Yeshira to appreciate the Halakha Torah Shebal Peh, you don't want me to be a part of it. You don't want me to be a part of it? So Hashem says, you know what? I don't want to be a part of your Torah Shebal Peh either. Leave me out of it. You can have it. Leave me out of it. If Moshe's not going to be here, I'm not going to be here. If you're going to burn the Moreh Nevuchim, and Moshe's not going to be here, you know what? Hashem is not going to be here. The Talmud Bavli will be taken away from you as well. And all of this is right here present on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas in the Aliyah of the Yom Ali Be'er Enula. In this Shira. It's all Merum is right here. But Rabbeisai, we don't want to leave off this Vart on a sour note. So we have to mechazik ourselves what we said this week to remember. It's been 777 years. Chaz says in the Pasuk, Kimei Tseischa Mimitzrayim Erenu Niflois. Just the miracles that we will experience at the time of Bias HaMashiach will be just like Yetzias Mitzrayim. This year, on Erev Pesach, the Zman Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam said, Ki Meitzeischa Mimitzrayim Eren Niflois. It's just like Yitzias, I'm going to show you miracles. And the curse of the Meram Meirandenburg came true. The Meram Meirandenburg who wrote a Kina on Tisha B'Av to commemorate the Sreifas HaTalmud at the end of the Kina, he curses the church. And he says, fortunate will be the one that will ignite, will torch, will do to you what you've done to us. Meram Meirandenburg was not politically correct. Anyone who said this publicly got into a lot of trouble in the media, in the secular media. How can you say that? How can you say that? The Meram Meirandenburg wasn't politically correct. The church did to Klal Yisrael enormous, enormous harm and torture and suffering. The blood that has been spilled on account of the church is not to be believed. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not meichel them, and we're not meichel them. And the Meram Meirandenburg cursed them. And here, b'hashkocha prata, 777 years later, on Erev Pesach, kimei tseischa mimitzrayim, Erenu Niflois. The church became an inferno. It's unbelievable. It was destroyed. And it's not something to be ignored that the number 777 is the number, the mispar of Yirmiyahu Hanavi. What were his words? Miketz Shivim Shana Efkoit Eschem. At the end of 70 years, I will remember you. Yirmiyahu Hanavi said his words during the time between the Churban and the Bayis, reference to the Bayis Sheni, that the Churban, the Bayis Rishon, the Golus will only last 70 years. At the end of 70 years, I will remember you. The Beis HaMikdash was Nisraf. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed through Sreifa. And Yirmiyahu Hanavi said, after 70 years, I will remember you. There will be a Geula. In the year 1242, there was a Sreifa. The Sreifa Satalmud. And now, it's been 777 years. The Mispar Gadol of 70 is 700. The Mispar Katan of 70 is 7. The number 70 is 70. The words of Yirmiyahu HaNavi have never been louder. have never been more clear. Miketz shivim shana efgoit eschem. Just like when there was the Sreifas Beis HaMikdash, after 70 years, there was the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. When this event took place of the Sreifas HaTalmud, we acknowledge it's due to our Averos. But now, 777 years later, the lessons have been learned. The words of the Nevuah are echoing. Efkoit Eschem. It is now a Zman Misugal for Geula. Hashem will remember us, will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. As I mentioned this week, is that when you listen to the news reports of this burning of this cathedral, you heard the Goyim, the Umay Sa'olam, and unfortunately some Jews as well, pledging, don't worry, we're going to rebuild it. We're going to rebuild it. Rebuild, we're going to rebuild. We're going to rebuild, and we're going to give money. And they right away said already $1 billion of pledges have come in to rebuild this, to rebuild the cathedral. $1 billion. If in this world there's a baskol, Hashem uses different instruments to bring out the baskol. The baskol came for us. Happened to be the Umay Sa'olam with Hashem's instrument of the baskol. And when you cut out all of the noise and static, the baskol from Shemayim after 777 years to us was rebuild. Miketz shivim shana efkoid eschem. And when you listen to the media, you heard one word: rebuild. The time has come to take advantage, to rebuild. To rebuild what? To rebuild the oisiyos that were porchos ba'avir from the 1,200 manuscripts that were ignited on that day. Those oisiyos that porchos ba'avir are just waiting to be put down somewhere. Where are they meant to be put down? You can't take Torah Shebal Peh and put it on klaf. Dvarim Shebichsav, Dvarim Shebal Peh, Yatar V'shay L'kosam, you're not allowed to put into writing. You put it Aluach Libchem, on the tablets of your heart. The oisiyos that were porchos ba'avir from those 1,200 manuscripts are still waiting to be repaired, to be anchored in our hearts. And now is an ace misugal miketz shivim shana efkoid eschem after 777 years. And it's all merumas. All this year is just an incredible combination of things coming together. The cathedral was destroyed in the Erev Pesach. What more could you possibly want? Ki meit seischa me eretz Mitzrayim. Pesach is the zman of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Erenu niflois. Miketz shivim shana efkoid eschem. The lessons have been learned. And as we said, if they can rebuild, if they can pledge to rebuild, how much more so should we pledge to rebuild, to restore the Kedusha of what was written in those 24 cartloads, the 1,200 manuscripts. Okay, this is one idea. Before we go on to the next idea, I just want to make a public service announcement. a very light public service announcement. Now, I don't know how I should say this, but if I would want to count the number of distractions that we had today from the time that we started until now, I don't know if I can count so high. I'm not so smart. How many times did someone's cell phone go off? I'm always amazed how people, they have no regard just to walk the pace that back and forth over here. Someone wants to get a safer. There's a shir going on over here. Well, what do you think this is, a kindergarten here? You come in, take a safer. It's a shortcut to go to the back room, the back room over here. It's just remarkable that there is absolutely no regard for anything here. Now, I don't want to say that there was a rabbi. A rabbi who recently got very, very upset, and he said as follows. He said, "It's not about me. I'm Moichel. It's about the Kavod HaTorah." Abayisai, it's about me. I'm not on that level to tell you something like that, okay? I'm not at that level. to go tell you that it's not about me. It's about me, Kate. Whatever it is. It's about me. It's about you. It's about everyone. It's about the Torah. It's about everything. There's no tzura. There's no tzura. If you have one of these beautiful devices, which is the spitz of technology today, you have no. It's a beautiful thing. I live with this the whole day. We all know that. You have an obligation to know how to use it. You're not allowed to get it behind a wheel of a car unless you have a license. You cannot take this out of your home unless you know how to turn off the ringtone. What is such a big deal to do? Every phone has two buttons on the side, and the lower button, the more you push it on the top of your screen, it will show you the volume. And if you keep on pushing it, it will show you that you now enter into vibrate mode. Why is it so hard for everyone to learn how to use your phone? If you have a phone, you're intelligent enough to purchase the phone, you're certainly intelligent enough to know how to turn off the ringtone. If the phone rings, it is really, really not the right thing to answer the phone. It rings, sometimes we all forget. Everyone forgets. But to answer in front of the entire shir, hello, and carry on a conversation, you think no one's listening? Believe me, everyone here hears every single word you say. So for your own privacy, if the phone rings, go outside. I mean, how many times have you made phone calls and no one answers? I would say 90% of the phone calls I make, no one answers. So why, when you're in shir, is it bikuach nefesh, you have to now answer the phone and to say hello in front of the whole shir? Obviously, the shir is a kindergarten. The shir means nothing. That's what it means. That's obviously what it means. If people can just go parade back and forth here the whole day, when I went to yeshiva, we have a classroom. You wouldn't dare walk in to a classroom in the middle of shir. Okay? In college, who would dare walk in to a college class? What kind of nonsense is this? But this is not. This is Torah. What is Torah? It's for the birds. It's for the birds. It's nothing. It's garbage. Isn't that really what it is? Today it's Erev Shabbos, Parshas Chukas. Today is the Sreifa Satalmud. Throw it in the street. There's absolutely no regard for anything. I'm not telling you, I'm telling you personal, fine. I'm willing to, I'm not a tzaddikal. Maybe it's all my covered. Fine, let it be my covered. I don't care. Let it be all about me. Me and myself, I'm a Balgaiva. Good, so I'm a Balgaiva. But it's also about you. You also have to have some dignity in life. This is not a mahalach. We all have a phone. We all put on vibrate. You can go out, gesunte hate. I see here the whole share of people surfing the web, texting. All right, just do it discreetly. Try to be a little discreet. A little discreet, you could do it. But don't disturb the share with noises, different ringtones. It's just not the right thing. It really is not respectful. You would not tolerate this in a secular environment. Okay, also, I mean, eating is, everyone has to eat, but during the learning, it's not a time to munch. It makes a lot of noise. It creates a whole different surah. You have a whole day to eat. A whole day. We have breaks. You can go into the back, you can eat. During the learning, it's not the time to eat. It really isn't. And there should be some sense of dignity for, is it about me? Yes, for me. Okay, COVID, yes. I when I heard that rabbi say, it's not about me, I said, oh, come on, it's all about you. So I thought about myself, and I said, I'm guilty, okay? Fine, it's all about me. Let it be all about me. But I think when it will all be about me, it'll be all my gaiva, I think it'll trickle down. It will be good for you also. You'll walk away from a more dignified experience. And try to really listen. Try to really listen to what I'm saying. It's not the right thing. And especially today is a day, the perfect day from all days of the year to be makabel, to focus, because today is the day of the Sreifas HaTalmud. Today was a horrific day in Jewish history. It set a precedent for expulsions. This led to a recognition: we cannot stay in, the Jews cannot stay in France. We have to leave. And shortly thereafter, they left and they were expelled. And that set a precedent all over the world for the next 1,000 years, the next 700 years, expulsions. It's a horrible day. Horrible day on many accounts, and we have to at least, we don't fast, we're not on the Madrega anymore to fast. No one fast. At least we should know what happened today. We should know what it says. Look at the Shira, and look at what Rashi says. V'lama, why is Moshe Rabbeinu missing? Where did Moshe Rabbeinu go? In the Shira? How could it be the Shira, the Halakha Shira? Moshe's not here? Moshe was locker. Moshe, because of the Be'er, he was smitten. He didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because we didn't appreciate him. We complained, Vayorev Ha'amim Moshe. And how what they did to the Rambam, there's so many lessons to learn. Today, please, try to give the learning a little chashivas. At least as much chashivas as we give secular things. Go to a doctor's appointment. You keep your phone on. You know the phone rings. You answer the phone. It's not. Believe me, it's not. So why is the shir different? Every phone call you get is such an emergency. I used to teach in college. They also have this problem with the phones. So they say it's an emergency. So I used to tell the students, if it's an emergency, they will call 911. They're not going to call you. They're not going to call you. You're not the first responders. You're not the first responders. Please learn how to operate your smartphone. It's not all that complicated. There are buttons that are made on the phone to make it easy for you to learn how. If you don't know, just ask your grandchildren. They'll be very happy. They'll be very happy to explain it to you, how to operate the phone. And I understand it's a long share and it's hard. I fully get it. You need to surf the web. You need to text. You have things going on. Fine. But try to be a little discreet. Try. Don't do the whole shir. I see some people, they do mamish from the beginning of the shir to the end. If you do from the beginning to the end, you really shouldn't come here. It's not for you. It's not. It sets a tone for other people. You need to do it. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, the whole shir from beginning to end. Okay, if you want to read the newspaper during the shir, fine. But don't do it in front of me. Don't come and sit on the table right in front of me and put out the newspaper. You do it under the table. I'm not going to say anything. But don't go and sit with the newspaper in front of the table. I mean, what are you thinking? I mean, what kind of? This is not. This is not a derech. This is a disgrace. Okay, be discreet. Just don't get caught, right? That's the motto of life. All right, Rabbi Sai, may we all have a wonderful Shabbos and all the best of all of you.
A bunch of people in South France who were supporters of the Rambam. So they didn't succeed. Rashi himself later lived in South France.
Okay.